Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Dave Packer. The Israel-Hamas ceasefire is holding, hordes honking, dust flying as trucks full of humanitarian aid pass through the Rafah border crossing with Gaza. Food, blankets, and other supplies, plus fuel tankers passing through the checkpoint. This after earlier, three hostages were released by Hamas. They're now on Israeli soil. ABC's Tom Sophie Borage is in Ramallah.
It's a complex agreement. So first, for each of the first 5 weeks, Hamas is expected to release three or four hostages. In the sixth week, Hamas should return 14 hostages to Israel, including the bodies, sadly, of some dead hostages. Now, as part of the six-week deal, Hamas is due to release several female Israeli soldiers, and in return, Israel is expected to release Palestinian men who have been convicted of serious terrorism offenses.
Two American hostages are expected to be released during the ceasefire in the coming days. This is ABC News. Former Trump White House chief strategist Steve Bannon on This Week Today on ABC, answering questions about tech billionaires' planned attendance at tomorrow's inauguration. Bannon telling ABC's Jonathan Carl the executive's attendance is a sign of their official surrender to President-elect Trump.
Mark Zuckerberg is there. Do you believe his conversion?
Absolutely not. I think Mark Zuckerberg's a criminal. I think in a properly adjudicated
criminal.
Yes, for 2020, for the Zuckerbucks.
The day before he leaves office, President Biden with more pardons today.
Among the five pardons issued by President Biden, a posthumous pardon for Marcus Garvey, a black activist and nationalist who was convicted of mail fraud in 1923 and later deported to his native Jamaica. The Congressional Black Caucus, in calling for a pardon, said it would honor his work for the black community and restore the work of an American hero. Garvey died in 1940, but his work influenced Malcolm X and other civil rights leaders.
ABC News.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Voters will decide whether Wisconsin's voter ID law will be added to the state constitution. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Voters will see the proposal on the April 1st ballot. If approved, the state constitution would be amended, which would make the change much harder to repeal in the future. Proponents insist stricter ID requirements help to prevent voter fraud, but opponents, including Jay Heck with Common Cause Wisconsin, say they provide a partisan advantage for Republicans.
All it does is it reduces the opportunity for certain segments of the population to be able to vote. It doesn't do anything about preventing fraud, and it's just a voter suppression method.
Heck says he believes the measure will attract more conservatives to the polls in April. And even if voters reject the idea of changing the Constitution, the state's voter ID requirement, which is among the strictest in the country, would remain. The state's voter ID law has been long debated for its prohibitive requirements. Wisconsin allows 7 forms of identification that can be presented at the polls, but Heck explains they have to meet particular requirements.
These are forms of ID that, although they seem on the surface to make some sense, they're very difficult for some segments of the population to obtain.
Heck adds rushing to put these requirements in the state constitution is strategic given the state Supreme Court justice ballot the measure will share. In more than 40 years, the Conservative Heritage Foundation lists only 68 cases of voter fraud in Wisconsin. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org. Support for this reporting was provided by Carnegie Corporation of New York.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cold weather advisory remains in effect. Mostly sunny skies. Highs, though, near 5 below zero. Wind chills around 30 below with a northwest breeze. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Lows between 10 and 15 below. Wind chills to 25 below. It's 9 below at our studios.
Dom Selvia.
Jess P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, it's Inauguration Day. Tune in to hear some historical context and perspective from our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Rational Revolution for the first time. So I've done this, I think, for about a year, and this is the first time that I'm going to be. Was it a year? Yeah, no, not so much. I'm being generous. My producer Amanda's like, meh. So I'm flying blind. I've got no notes, but I have two amazing co-pilots here: the victorious representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner, and hey, we've got the guy back. You won.
I did.
You won. Senator Jamie Wahl.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So I have no notes, and we're going to just kind of go and see where the conversation takes us. And again, you know, congratulations again to you. We had you back since, and this is your first returning time. And dude, nice job. How'd that feel on election night?
Felt good.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine.
It took a while to get the results, yeah. But I was happy with them when they came in. So, you know, that's price it was worth paying.
As Joe Biden would say, that's a BFD. I can't say that on the radio.
I can't either.
Yes, but is that going to be bleeped? Yeah, sweet. All right, cool. Made it. that's amazing. And I think, you know, for the first time in a long time, we have a semblance of, in the Green Bay area, the will of the people. Holy cow. We were going to have Ryan Spotty is one as well. And so it seems like the people of this area, Northeast Wisconsin, are able to be heard.
Look, I mean, Wisconsin's a purple state fundamentally. Yes. I mean, all of our elections statewide are close, and Northeast Wisconsin, we're the swing area in this state. So, and the reason, and you know this, Mark and Ahmad, I mean, the reason we had such disproportionate representation was the old maps, and I think now running in newer, fairer districts, you're going to see a legislature that's more representative of the people of the state, and hopefully, you'll see a little bit more. I don't know how to put it. Maybe a little bit more, you know, if you can keep my fingers crossed for a little bit more moderation and cooperation instead of just my way or the highway, which has been the approach for, you know, 20 years down there.
Well, and I mean, moderation is good, but I think, you know, even if people of one district want something that is a little bit more on the edges, at least their voices are heard. Mm-hmm. And so we have a full spectrum of, I mean, I'm a moderate. Yes, that's great, but that's fine if we have people pulling us in with conversations that we're uncomfortable with, because I think finding comfort in the uncomfortable is something that's really important. And we talk about the maps, and I've said this for a long time, that we had maps that the best and the brightest just didn't want to put themselves through a losing effort.
Right.
And so we wouldn't have someone like you, Jamie, or like you, Ahmad, because why would you do that to yourself if you have a heart of service? That's one thing, but just to put yourself forward to 43 to 62 it or whatever the heck it is, you know what I mean? Why would anyone do that?
Well, can I, before we get into kind of the jiu-jitsu of legislative politics,
yes.
I kind of want to just talk about just what it means to have people like myself and Jamie representing us, right? Like, Jamie is very humble, and so I'm just going to give him a really awesome compliment. So, which people may know, grew up on a dairy farm, first person in his family to go to college, and became a Rhodes Scholar.
I didn't know that.
I was, you know, homeless growing up. First person in my family to go to college. Get to serve in the seat as a formerly homeless kid. To me, what's so beautiful about Fair Maps isn't just the partisan makeup. I think that is just reflective of the purple community that we talk about. It is that people like Jamie and I can run for office and represent the hard work, hardworking people of different kinds of backgrounds and take those values and those experiences and make that turn that into electoral victories. And to me, that is what's special about this moment. Give everything else away. You know, politics are going to be politics. People are going to fight no matter what we do. And that's part of, you know, that's part of how the sausage is made. But what is new, and this is, we're even seeing some of this on the Republican side, is a different crop of people are rising up through their ranks because Fair Maps create the avenue for more reflective democracy. And that includes experiences. And so, you know, not to put him out there, but that is an incredible story. You know, I like my own story, but imagine that Green Bay is picking these hardworking blue collar roots people now to represent them. And they're not just cast aside by conspiracy theorists and chaos.
Right.
And so isn't that truly one of the most beautiful things you can
do? It's remarkable. It's people are speaking.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. You know, it's a badass thing when people rise up and their voices are heard. That's, it's really, really cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a Rhodes Scholar. He shrugs.
I talk more about the dairy farm, you know.
How many cows were on that? Is it a cow's or head of cow?
You could say either. I mean, we were relatively small, but we got bigger like everybody else did. I think when I was a small kid, we had about 50, and it was probably more like 150 when I graduated from high school. My cousin still runs the place, but he's sort of retired, and he just raises heifers and dry cows for the neighbor and has some beefers of his own. So it's not a working dairy farm or it's not a milking dairy farm anymore, but it's still a going concern, and that's a nice thing. I mean, it's a, you feel like there's a family legacy there that's being carried forward.
Yeah. I would have been a holy terror on a dairy farm. Oh, my God.
Well, every farm kid has got a story about how they almost died when they were eight, you know? Yeah. So.
Only fell into the silo a couple times.
Right.
Yeah.
I married the son of dairy farmers.
Oh, yes.
And who still own a farm outside of Middleton, Wisconsin. The only part that I love the most is they separate the calves as they're growing. And so I get to go hang out with them sometimes. So that's really fun. That's the best. That for me is the best part. So I don't have a death-defying story as Jamie
you
does.
You like hang out with the baby cows.
But I hang out with the baby cows.
That's sweet.
So that seems to be a really good role for me and other farmers. So it's quite fun.
Jamie's like, I never got too close with them. Because, you know.
Don't name things you're going to eat. It's a good rule, you know. So.
That's awesome. So how we talked to Ahmad about how his life has changed. Mm. How has your life changed,
Mr. Senator? Well, look, at minimum, look, I'm really grateful that, you know, this community gave me a chance to try to give back to, you know, the place that's given a lot to me. But, you know, from a personal perspective, which is, I think is what you're asking, at minimum, it's going to be an interesting ride. It's a platform where you get to talk to all sorts of people and, you know, all sorts of walks of life. You know, I've tried to have two or three meetings a day when I'm, you know, here in town, which is most of the time, just working my way around the community, talking to people and businesses or different nonprofits. I mean, I toured the sewage treatment plant a week ago, you know,
sweet.
And that's it, which is immense.
Isn't that crazy, though?
It's so much bigger than I thought it was.
Yeah. It's like seven stories, the tallest building in Green Bay now?
If you count the underground bit of it, absolutely.
Isn't that
it
weird?
Is. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's just one example. But, Ahmad and I have both gotten committee assignments. I'm sure, you know, you're doing the same thing I am, which is, you know, thinking about what kind of issues we might be able to move forward. I mean, I've been talking to some of my Republican colleagues about what they might want to do and see if we can find some common ground there.
How was that?
Honestly, pretty decent so far. I mean, the proof's in the pudding, but they've been willing to have the conversation. So we'll just have to see where it takes us. I'm the ranking member on the Senate committee that includes, well, it's an insurance, housing, rural affairs, and forestry, which is a bit of a grab bag. But one of the things I heard most at the doors was just concerns about the cost of housing. And, that didn't matter if you're trying to buy your first house, if you're a renter and have seen your costs go up around you. So first and foremost, we just need to build more housing in this town and across the state. And I think there's some levers there that should be bipartisan. And I'm, like I said, going to be talking to people about whether they're willing to work with me to pull them and try to do some good for the people we represent.
This might sound self-serving, but I do know a lot of people are in this thing as well. My family, because you see all these first-time home buyers. There's also people who haven't owned a home in a number of years that would like to get back into it. And I think that there should be some sort of something where, like, hey, if you haven't owned a home in 5 years and you're trying to bring your family back to that point, you know, that could be something too that we would work on. I mean, housing is huge, from a lack of rentals to landlords charging exorbitant amounts of money for places that are, there's a lot of, God, what a big issue.
So we did a version of this here in the city, which is what we created as a down payment program, and it wasn't considered first-time home buyer. Mm. And this is where we have to talk about kinds of means testing and how means testing doesn't always meet the affordability crisis.
Right.
Meaning that just because you have some, in Green Bay, we have an unemployment rate, we've talked about this a million times, nearly 2%, meaning that nearly everyone you run into works at least one job, if not multiple jobs, which means, unfortunately, because of some of the protocols we have in place, they don't qualify for many of the assistance programs. We have to kind of change that there's something called the missing middle for housing, which is the 80% of people, not extremely poor or income restricted or not luxury housing, but literally the 60 to 80% of people who fit in between those spaces. And so one of the programs that we did in the city, and I'm hoping to bring and work with Senator Wall on, is that we created a down payment program as you moved in the city, as long as you moved into a qualified census tract, which in Green Bay is nearly every single track, we would help you with down payment assistance. And so we saw that already have some dividends, that when we help encourage people to move here or change sizes of houses. So we need people for employment from new directors, but sometimes people want to move from a larger suburban house to a more densely populated neighborhood with smaller housing, as long as they were moving into qualified census districts.
I'm sick of mowing my lawn.
Or as much of a lawn, right? And fighting the turkeys on your land. Come to Green Bay.
Or fighting the turkeys that are your neighbors. Just kidding.
Right. And we have turkey. We even have deer in Green Bay. But we know that by thinking about smart programs where means testing isn't the exact answer, that we're looking to make sure that people are moving into these communities and making sure they're mixed income, and that's bringing down the overall cost of housing, is really the answer. So I will be honest, as a constituent of Senator Wall, the idea that he is on these committees is so exciting.
Yeah.
Because I think we need to have an intelligent, thoughtful conversation that truly does kind of supersede traditional partisan lines. People, we call it YIMBY, Yes in My Backyard.
Yes.
That's cool. Right. There's some NIMBYs that are Democrats. There are some NIMBYs that are Republicans. But there are YIMBYs that also are Republicans and Democrats. So what's really nice about housing, good or bad, is it creates a different coalition about the issue. You're either pro more housing that actually helps us, or you might not want it. Fair position, but I'm a pro-housing advocate, and so it's exciting to have the first Democrat senator in a really long time sitting on the housing committee.
Right.
So we're very enthusiastic about that.
Yeah, we're going to continue this discussion. We've got State Senator Jamie Wall, Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner. We'll be right back here on The Rational Revolution.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. Two special guests, Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner and State Senator Jamie Wall. My goodness. So how life on the personal side? Are you going to be down there, up here? Or are you really just like trying to figure all that out? How does that work?
Yeah, mostly up here, but some back and forth. It feels like I'll be down in Madison a couple days a week, maybe 3 weeks out of the month. It's sort of
rhythm. Bad.
No, it isn't. I mean, I'm already beginning to, you know, dread the drive through Rosendale, but I know enough not to speed there. They don't have any property taxes in Rosendale. It's just they fund the town entirely on speeding tickets.
That's nice. So, yeah, that's how it works.
But you know, first world problems,
right?
Yeah.
So that's cool. And is that kind of what most people do? You know,
unless you represent leadership, Dane County or something, or you know, then it's easy for you to get in and out, obviously. And yeah, if you're in leadership or the folks in the Joint Finance Committee have to be down there quite a bit in budget season, because that's the committee that writes the budget. But for most of us, 80-90% of the time, I'll be here in my district.
You know, what's been really interesting is like I hear people say, "Oh, what are you going to do? Are you going to be a policy wonk? Are you going to be a political something?" Or, you know, and then okay, what are my goals? What do I want to do? You know, how is that going?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, talking to people and, you know, learning from the people you represent is a big part of the job, and that carries into what your policy priorities are. I mean, something I certainly heard at the door is I knocked on almost 19,000 of them over the course of the campaign was just concerns about the cost of living. And we touched on this a little bit. And look, state government can't do a lot about prices at the grocery store, but we talked about housing. That's a big issue for a lot of people. Things like healthcare costs, childcare. Tax relief for regular people who need it. These are all a big part of my agenda. And our colleague Ryan Spouty, who represents Ashwaubenon in the west side of Green Bay in the assembly, the reason he's not here with us right now is that he was
what the heck, Ryan?
Part of exactly. Well, you know, shame on him, but right. not shame on him, because he was part of a group that rolled out a package of bills that Ahmad and I are also supporting, which are targeted very much at these cost of living issues. One is an expansion of the so-called homestead tax credit, which helps low-income people and senior citizens on fixed incomes with their property tax bills. So that's something that very directly helps people who are, you know, struggling to make ends meet. And Ahmad, you can jump in here as well on some of these things, but there's two other two other bills, one having to do with school lunches, and the third having to do with prescription drug costs.
Yeah. So one of the exciting things, and we talked about this actually on your show, the former representative, Christina Shelton, now Sandar, had championed an incredible bill, which is just make meals free for kids. Uh-huh. That the cost of both administration and the idea that there are kids that go hungry because they can't get access to breakfast or lunch in schools just is such an easy problem for us to solve, and it actually costs us so little.
Yeah.
I think it's 60 cents a kid.
Really?
When you do it in totality across the state. And so it really is just kind of a shame that we just don't already provide this service. And so this was introduced last session. There's a great coalition of people working on it. I was was planning on introducing this session, and now our entire caucus is behind it, which is super exciting, that every kid would be able to get breakfast and lunch, and that we would actually save money because the cost of administering a program and collecting fees actually cost us dollars. So it's actually government efficiency to actually provide a non-mean tested free access to meals. And so very excited for this. This is something that the Green Bay schools will be very excited about and have been supportive of it. And the second
just 1 second on that. One point on that, Ahmad, I'd like to make is it's also about $150 a month per kid per family. So if you've got savings. So again, this hits the family budget. This helps people who are, you know, struggling ends meet, or you know, people who aren't. But you know, if you've got two kids,
that's a big deal.
This will save you know, in the order of $300 a month. You know, when they're in school,
including
and we make sure that those kids are showing up you know, with a full belly and ready to learn. I mean, I've had, you know, talk to teachers about, you know, who keep the box of granola bars in their desk because of the kids who wander in, you know, and obviously, you know, I'm no darn good when I'm hungry.
No, right.
And I was worse when I was 8. So, sure. So sorry, Maude, I interrupted.
No, that, and this, why we're really excited is that these are common sense elements that help all kinds of families, that we're not putting an income restriction on this kind of support and help. $300 extra a month helps every kind of income.
Yeah. Right.
There's no person that doesn't improve their, can enjoy $300 a month if they have 2 kids or 1 kid. Or, you know, in some days, you know, these larger families in Green Bay have 4, 5, and 6 kids. Right. Imagine what that looks like. So
that's,
we're just
food for their family.
Literally. And so it just makes lives easier. And then the second big one, which again would be common sense, we did see this on the federal level, which is essentially a capping of certain prescription drugs, particularly insulin and other kinds of medications related to that. There's no real reason in this country, particularly, that many of those patents that came and helped create these elements were actually government sponsored overall, and, you know, the national level. So we just want to make sure that those kind of caps are realized for almost all families, and especially working families, that you shouldn't be spending $200-$300 a month on insulin, something that was actually happening to my mother, who was on, you know, somewhat of a limited income. She was spending up to $300 on insulin.
That's crazy.
Which is absolutely wild, right? So these are deeply common sense. I wish I could tell you that there should be a fight about them. There will be a debate. They may not get passed. But the answer to pushing things that you believe in isn't waiting till they're the perfect time. It's making sure that we're very clear about them and making sure that people of this community are interested in advocating for that with us.
You know, and one of the things that we talked about too when you were here last is the rules of the assembly and how they've been.
Yeah.
And so my question is too, okay, this is a pack of bills that is supported by the entire delegation.
Correct.
Do they still need a Republican to be on the top of that list in order for it to
more or less, yes. Yeah. I mean, I think the world may change a little bit in this front just because the margins are closer. But last session, I think 4% of bills that were introduced by Democrats got a hearing. And I think there was one bill that was sponsored by a Democratic senator that passed last time. So that's how stark that partisan sort of iron fist was, I guess, to mixed metaphors terribly there. Apologies, but again, I'm hopeful that we'll see a little bit more room for cooperation given the closer margins that we have. I mean, the first bill I signed on to was something that Senator Andre Jacques, who's you know, one of my Republican neighbors here, you know, represents a district to the south and east of me, has put together, and it basically would extend veterans benefits to the roughly state veterans benefits, which are much smaller than federal, to the roughly 1,000 veterans who were involved in the secret war in Laos. So these are all mostly Hmong people who you know, who fought for us and then were forced to leave their country when, you know, they ended up on the losing side. So that, to me, you know, struck me as just something that was common sense. And there's a sizable community, you know, in this town and elsewhere in the state that would benefit from that. And if it's a good idea and comes from Republican, I don't care. I'd like to be part of that as well. So I signed up for that.
We co-sponsored. I'm co-sponsoring.
Awesome.
Yeah. And today, when we have our swearing in, we're actually going to be having Hmong Lao veterans actually at the event.
Cool.
So, you know, it does mean something to honoring people. Doesn't have to be truly partisanship. It should be a very simple, easy thing. And so I'm excited to sign on as the senator is as well, because we should be honoring.
Yeah.
And as Jamie said, we have a sizable Hmong population, the ocean population here in Green Bay. And so, it's great.
And we're going to continue this discussion on the other side. I wish that sentiment was shared by the other side, you know, of it's always up to one side to take the high road. But we're going to continue this discussion here with Senator Jamie Wall and Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner here on The Rational Revolution.
Good enough for me and my Bavarian.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Dave Packer. The Israel-Hamas ceasefire is holding, hordes honking, dust flying as trucks full of humanitarian aid
pass through the Rafah border crossing with Gaza food, blankets, and other supplies, plus fuel tankers passing through the checkpoint. This after earlier, three hostages were released by Hamas. They're now on Israeli soil. ABC's Tom Sophie Borage is in Ramallah.
It's a complex agreement. So first, for each of the first 5 weeks, Hamas is expected to release three or four hostages. In the sixth week, Hamas should return 14 hostages to Israel, including the bodies, sadly, of some dead hostages. Now, as part of the six-week deal, Hamas is due to release several female Israeli soldiers, and in return, Israel is expected to release Palestinian men who have been convicted of serious terrorism offenses.
Two American hostages are expected to be released during the ceasefire in the coming days. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Badgers win in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's basketball, Wisconsin faced USC for the first time in the Big Ten Conference, and the Badgers came out on top, 84-69. Wisconsin held off the Trojans after they scored 13 unanswered points in the second half. Head coach Greg Gard.
Defensively, to be able to catch ourselves after that first 5 to 7 minutes when they made a run back at us, and I think the moxie of the group, they didn't panic. I think that's what makes this team really, really good, is that we have a lot of pieces and a lot of weapons.
The Badgers have now won 7 in a row. Number 7th ranked Marquette falling short at home to Xavier, 59-57. The Golden Eagles unable to score during a 5-minute period down the stretch. Coach Shaka Smart.
Congrats to Xavier. They came in here with phenomenal force and aggressiveness. It's a 19-point game on our home floor with about 15 to play. That's 1,000% a testament to them and how they played.
NBA, the Bucks host the 76ers tonight. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cold weather advisory remains in effect. Mostly sunny skies. Highs, though, near 5 below zero. Wind chills around 30 below with a northwest breeze. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Lows between 10 and 15 below. Wind chills to 25 below. Right now, it's 8 below.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Native American voters prevailed in federal court against the state of North Dakota, protecting the ability to elect the candidate of their choice. January 13th, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear a redistricting case we covered back in May 2024, affirming a North Dakota Federal Appeals Court decision. The appeals court had dismissed a state house district challenge by two non-native residents who claimed their rights were infringed. The case dates back to 2021 when the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara nations, also known as the MHA nation, negotiated with the state to protect native voting power under the 1965 Voting Rights Act, Section 2. After an agreement, state GOP officials later shamefully reversed positions in 2022, embracing a new GOP tactic which argues such majority-minority districts are a violation of the Equal Protection Clause under the U.S. Constitution. The same argument has been made in Robinson v. Calais over Louisiana's now two majority-minority districts. The MHA Nation decision protects North Dakota State House District 4A and three other districts. Great news for Native voters. But the Louisiana case is expected to be heard in the High Court in early 2025, and the conservative justices seem to have made it their mission to dismantle the VRA. We have links to the history of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Luke Mathers joins us now.
The Bucks were playing, the Badgers were hosting Minnesota, and I couldn't get either of those games on YouTube TV.
Years later, they're going to look back at this and go, oh my God, how did you guys get through it? I mean,
things don't happen in a vacuum, though, and you have to elect people that will break up these giant monopolies and allow us to watch our favorite teams in peace.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll discuss the life and presidency of Jimmy Carter with journalist and political consultant Candy Stroud before spending some time honoring Dr. King's holiday.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I love this song. It's a good song. Well, anyhoodle, so this is the Wrestling Revolution. Mark Becker here with my dear friend, Senator Jamie Wahl, and Representative Maude Rivera-Wagner. So the reason that I wanted to talk to you guys is you're doing something that's really cool. And, you know, boo hiss to Ryan Spotty for having the audacity to do his job today. Because he
gets a pass for doing good things for us in Madison, but yes.
he was going to be here as well, but he had to be elsewhere. But you guys are doing an in-district swearing-in ceremony. I don't remember, even when there was all Republicans, they didn't do something like that. And they had an opportunity. Arguably, they've had too many opportunities to do something like that. But here we are talking about that.
So, you know, one of the things I'm just excited about is that we all kind of talk to each other, know each other. Jamie and I are neighbors.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we don't live too far from...
Yeah, five, six blocks.
You know, neighbors.
That's neighbors,
And one of the things that's amazing about Green Bay is that we are neighborly. But we also celebrate together all the time. And usually it's Packer games. But we have a history celebrating together. So it's not as partisan. There hasn't really been an in-district swearing in this area for several decades of any kind of real party. But one of the things that we were very thankful for as a group is that this community kind of showed up. The best thing is that everyone participated. All kinds of people got involved. We are elected representatives for every single person in our districts. And we wanted to bring people together in this district. Not everyone wants to drive 2.5 hours each way to Madison just to see us raise our hands.
Right.
And so how can we make government more accessible? And this was a way for us to collectively say, one, thank you. And two, how can you be part of the conversation and part of this? And our goal is to do that for lots of things, is to make people feel like we're bringing Madison to them, not that we're going away to Madison without their values, their support, and their help. So we're kind of super excited to do this. We didn't think it was that unorthodox, but we were excited about it.
Sure. Well, and I agree with everything Ahmad just said. This is a chance to, you know, thank our supporters. But also, I mean, this is a state event. This is not a campaign event. And we have, there'll be people there who didn't vote for me. My former opponent, and I give him credit for that. We had a reschedule for different reasons. But he was going to come to the one the last time before we had to reschedule it. So, I got the votes of 21 out of 40 people in my district, and I need to represent the other 19 as well. And this is one way to start doing that.
I think it's cool. You know, you're not driving to Madison alone. You're driving with hopes and dreams and aspirations of thousands and thousands of people that depend on you for, I mean, what a weight, you know?
And that's why we're not doing it alone, right? The goal is that people are doing this with us, right? That it's not just on my shoulders. It is not just on a single individual's shoulders. Part of this community swearing in is we want to work with everybody, right? We want people to come testify. We want people to engage us. We want to have roundtables and conversations that despite what people think about Madison politics or what happens at the State House, the goal here is to be responsive, listen, and engaged. And this is us as our opening to let everyone know that regardless of who you voted for or if you didn't even vote at all, there's some people didn't vote at all, that we are going to serve you, engage you, and listen to you. And that shouldn't be partisan.
I think one of my first cracks in the old Republican armor was when I was elected to the county board. And my first meeting was with the library. Mm. And they talked about the people that come in when it's too cold. And they talk about the people that come in to apply for jobs because they don't have internet. And they talk. And so it's just like I went in my car and I was like, I got emotional. And I was like, wow. Like all of this, all of these things that those people are doing, you know, and it's like, oh, my God, you know, how wrong I was. And I felt that was the moment where I felt the weight of need. And my God, there's so much of it. And yeah, it was a big deal. And I would imagine that as you guys are, from your time in the city, but you as well, Senator Wahl, you know, seeing all of the need that's in the community too. I mean, oh my God, that's a lot.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, the good news is that, you know, sometimes there are things you can do that help the you know, the people who are really struggling, the folks mm-hmm. you're just talking, Mark, and at the same time benefit lots of other people, you know, as well. And I mean, I think the reason we've talked as much about housing as we have here is I think that's an issue. I mean, that's like that. I mean, we just need to build more single family housing, more right. apartments, more condos, more of everything mm-hmm. here. And there's some things that we can do there that should cross party lines and hopefully be able to get something done for our folks here.
So crossing party lines and all of that would be wonderful. And we've talked about this a few times, and I wanted to touch back on it a little bit. Is what do you how is this going to work? Where, you know, you have a group of people that didn't have to give two rips about anybody before, mm-hmm. and could kind of bully, not kind of, they did, and you know, thankfully a lot of those was not a lot, but some of those people are no longer there. The representative of the 88th was a particular thorn in the side of all things, you know, intelligent. And how do you work with the other side to say, hey, this group, this package of bills that all of us on the Democratic side are sponsoring, this is important. And the Republicans in all likelihood will say, all right, get a Republican first. Then we'll talk.
Well, you look for opportunities. You can't take the politics out of politics, and we're not going to agree on everything, and it's not, you know, going to be singing kumbaya.
Right,
everything.
Right.
You
no,
know, sometimes yeah. you just have to stand up for what you believe in and what the people, you know, sent you there. But, you know, there are issues. You know, Mott and I have both done some work on this. We talked to the governor about getting some money to help our local police departments pay for the costs that they're going to incur with the NFL draft coming up. And that's a huge deal. It's a wonderful thing for the community here. But, you know, it was also about $1.5 million hit to police budgets in Green Bay and in Ashwaubenon and in the county sheriff as well. And I think the governor's going to put that in the budget, and Ahmad's been talking, and I've both been talking to, you know, some of our Republican neighbors about whether we can keep that in, and I'm cautiously optimistic we'll be able to do that. So, I mean, that's a win. The Green Bay Police Department is about a $30 million a year enterprise, and this would make them whole for about $1 million. So that's a noticeable amount of money in their budget, and the same thing applies to Ashwaubenon and to the sheriff as well.
And Jamie knows this about me, and you know this about me. I'm deeply hopeful. And maybe I'm hopeful because we've had partisan politics in Green Bay in every office up and down the ballot, right? Whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
That has just been the case. And we've been able to do big things,
yes.
right? From JBS to the Conservation Corps to getting 100% on our equality index for LGBTQ folks.
Yeah.
Part of me is hopeful, right? That there is ways that we can have things that meet people's needs, that there's compromises to be made, that there are ways for us to work together, that there doesn't have to be an iron fist of partisan politics. I also could be naive. So I told this to former Mayor Jim Schmidt that I'm totally open to the idea that I could be too idealistic. But I've seen that on the local level. We've had some losses on the local level too, but we've seen a lot of wins over the last 4 years. Because we have found ways to both compromise and be connected to the community and talk about what helps the majority of folks. And it's worked. So I'm hoping to take that spirit to the Capitol. And as the senator said, it looks like we've already found some bipartisan piece of legislation, mm-hmm. right? That we, the three of us, the two of us in particular, have found a way to do something, even low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep being idealistic. I'm going to keep hoping that it's not right, left. It's pro Green Bay or not pro Green Bay.
Right.
We'll see what happens.
And that's what this show is all about. It's not about what's left or what's right. It's about what's right versus what's wrong.
Right.
How do you, as we talked to Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner, State Senator Jamie Wall, how do you bring that and have that discussion with the people you represent who maybe do want you to have an iron fist and, oh my God, how dare you? You know, how can you look at those people and be on a bill and sign on a, you know, how do you do that?
I mean, honestly, I don't, you know, I'm speaking for myself and maybe you have a different view here, Ahmad, but I just haven't heard a lot of that. I mean, the things that I heard at the doors was, you know, overwhelmingly, you know, why can't you bozos try to work together and get something done? And often they didn't say bozos, you know, okay. So
and clean that, it up. That, thank you.
That you heard. That. Exactly. We are on the air. And you know, that was from people across the spectrum. Now, are there issues that people believe deeply about and are passionate about and want people to stand up for them? Absolutely. But the average citizen, the average voter isn't getting up in the morning and saying, we need more partisan knife fights in Madison. That's that's what's going to make this place better for us. So that's kind of liberating. I mean, that's who I am. I've spent my business career helping people solve problems, and I represent a moderate district, and I think they deserve people who will try to go to bat for them and try to work with people on both sides of the aisle to do what's right for them.
And frankly, the same thing I heard. Frankly, everyone, what I heard was that the state legislatures were good ideas go to die. Everybody's ideas. And I actually heard that from, I heard that from Democrats and Republicans saying that, like, we basically just, no one talks to their legislature because it doesn't seem like anything gets done.
Yeah.
And so they really want to get things done. Now, I also say that a lot of the issues that I heard in my district are kind of majoritarian issues, right? Solving housing. We want schools to be fully funded. We think that childcare shouldn't cost so much. We think that our roads should be built better and faster. I mean, I didn't hear that many. We could add a partisan lens to it, but people want the freedom to make choices about their bodies. They want freedom to marry the person that they love.
Yep.
These weren't, they don't have to be controversial. People, we can make them, but these often have majority support or clear, close plurality support across the political spectrum. And so to me, like the senator said, most folks just want us to get things done. They truly just want movement on everyday basic issues and not culture war fights and banning of books and yelling at people about who they are. I heard no one, including people from those communities, being like, this is what you should be focusing on 100% of your time. So my hope is to, you know, to the senator's point, is that that frees me up to be pragmatic, clear-eyed, and focused on how much progress can I get in these next 2 years, and showcase that to the public and to my community, and how can they work with me to do that. And that's a cool job to have. It's what I did as the mayor's chief of staff. It's what I've been doing my whole life, is like figuring out, how do we get some movement on intractable issues? And so sometimes it's one house at a time, and that's okay.
Well, and there's a lot of people that think, and I've heard this, Governor Evers said it himself when we were talking in Ripon. He does believe that in 2 years, there will be some sort of a divided government where one party will have one majority here in one point. Or he was so bold enough to say he believes Democrats will take both houses in 2 years. That's what he, and he's been public about that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that would be, I think the work that you're doing now is going to lay the foundation to how things happen in 2 years.
Here's what I will say, and I, you know, I'll speak for myself. My dream isn't that there's necessarily more Republicans or Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
My dream is that there's more people responsive to the needs of people in their district. When people are responsive to the needs of their people in their district, more things get done.
Yep.
And that is just a deep thing. There has definitely been Democrats who aren't that good at being responsive in the history of Wisconsin. There are Republicans who have, in the history of Wisconsin, have not been that responsive. So if what we can do in the next 2 years is say that if you don't want to do anything, get a different job, I'd love that. And if that results in a Democratic majority, so be it. But if we, no matter what and whose party, actually gets people who want to get things actually done, that would be a benefit to all Wisconsinites.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, I couldn't say it any better than that, Ahmad. I do think that, you know, by and large, good policy is good politics. And if we're working toward things that are going to make the everyday lives of our voters better, maybe that'll benefit us too. But I mean, that's the way it's supposed to work in a healthy democracy. You say what you're going to do, you try to do it, and you're rewarded or punished accordingly. So it's up to the voters, and that's the beauty here.
So how do folks contact you guys?
Oh, gosh.
Well, you don't give your cell phone numbers out, but,
No, that's all right. We both have Madison offices now with some staff down there. You can find us online, but I think my number is 608-266-0484.
And, wow. By the way.
We'd be glad to hear from you. If you're ever in Madison, we'll hook you up with a Capital Tour. In Ahmad too, we'll be spending the large majority of my time here in the district. So we'll be accessible to everybody in community events, you name it, going forward. Yeah.
And then my email is rep dot Rivera hyphen Wagner at legis.wi.gov. We're happy to hear from folks. I'm so impressed with the senator. I don't remember my number yet.
That is really good.
That's impressive. I don't know my number yet, but my office is 18 awesome. West at the Capitol.
Representative Ahmaud Rivera Wagner, Senator Jamie Wall, thank you so much. Really appreciate what you guys got in store.
Yep, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Oh, man. Thank you so much to State Senator Jamie Wall. And Representative Ahmaud Rivera Wagner. That's really cool that that they're doing that. They're in district swearing in ceremony. We'll try to share some of that stuff on our social media because that's a cool thing for the state to show people working together and show the community that we can do this too. And so that's great. So thank you so much for them coming in. And we're gonna switch gears here a little bit. And talk about kind of the end of the era. Joe Biden had his farewell address from behind the Resolute desk this week. And I want to talk about that and then what we got coming up. It was really, it was an emotional roller coaster to hear him speak really for the last time as the president of the United States. I think that history will be very kind to his administration. So some of the things that he said, they accomplished, new roads, bridges, infrastructure, creating thousands of jobs. He talked about how Medicare can negotiate drug prices, the most significant gun safety law in 30 years, helping over 1 million vets exposed to toxic waste chemicals get the help they deserve, got the economy through a once-in-a-generation pandemic. Just this week, he brokered a ceasefire to pause the brutal fighting in Gaza. 17 million jobs created. It will really take a long time to feel the impact of what they've done. No matter what the opinion polls say right now, I think that what they did was remarkable. But he also talked about a warning, things that give him great concern, an oligarchy of a few extreme, wealthy, powerful individuals using their wealth and power to threaten people who just want to get ahead, and the wealthy need to play by the same rules. There is some serious things that are coming. He talked about the climate change danger has never been so clear. Powerful forces want to serve their own unchecked interests of power and profit and undo the steps that they did to save the planet. And he said, we must not be bullied into sacrificing our future for our children and grandchildren. That's true. And then he said some really, I thought, big things for a president to say in the Oval Office. He talked about getting rid of dark money in politics. He wanted to enact an 18-year term limit for the Supreme Court members. Holy cow. Ban members of Congress from trading stock while in Congress. And amend the Constitution. That takes a lot. Amend the Constitution to show that the president is not immune from crimes committed while in office. A fair shot is what makes America, America.
And when Joe Biden talks about the possibilities of America, there's really nobody better. He talks about the soul of the nation, a kid from Scranton, Pennsylvania, Claremont, Delaware, rising to the rank of president, sitting behind the Resolute desk. It is inspiring. He talked about the Statue of Liberty speaking the silent universal language of hope. And he talked about how there's such a short distance between peril and possibility. Wow. There was so much that happened over these 4 years. So much. And I think when all of the dust settles from all of this, I think that the accomplishments that they achieved in the face of such pushback and pressure really is something that history will be kind to. We'll look on with warmth over what's been happening now. Possibility and peril. And as we kind of look out as to where we are now, I picture a couple things. It's like, you know, a Disney movie, The Lion King, when you're looking out at the kingdom and you see the shadow approaches. And I think of a few quotes from my timeless favorite, The Lord of the Rings, if you'll allow me. The quote says, there's three of them. It says, "Over the land there lies a long shadow, westward reaching wings of darkness. The tower trembles to the tombs of kings. Doom approaches. The dead awaken, for the hour has come for the oath breakers." But my God, I got chills. How prophetic. You know, the long shadow stretches. Doom approaches. That is where we are. We're here. You know, the time for mourning is over, and now this is it. But then, our dear friend Tolkien, however you pronounce it, he also says that darkness must pass. A new day will come. And when the sun shines, it will shine out the clearer. Yes. How awesome. Yes, the sun will shine again, and it will shine so much brighter. I do believe that. I believe that better days are ahead. I believe that to my core. But it will only happen if we are what the final quote from J.R.R. tells us to be. And it's, be a light in dark places when all other lights go out. Be a light in dark places when all other lights go out. How poignant is that? We have seen so much darkness over these 4 years, over these 8 years. From division and death and attempts to break us, repeated attempts to break the soul of the nation that President Biden talked about. Be a light in dark places when all other lights go out. Wow. It is only with you, with your light, with your hope, with your perseverance, your determination, with your faith, and with your love for our future generations, that we will see through this night and make it to sunrise. That's it. It is time. It's time. We're in this together. We fight together. We are free together. And together, our light will never die. It's time. And we'll talk next week on the Rational Revolution. My thanks to Senator Jamie Wall, Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner, Amanda, the wonderful producer, and everyone at Civic Media. Thank you so much. See you next week.
Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up in the show, more studies show men are lonely. Why is that? What can be done? Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Dom Salvia Show.
Jack Smith's report. Maggie, prosecutors considered charging Trump with inciting insurrection, but didn't.
There's an old saying, if you shoot at the king, don't miss. If it's someone who's really powerful or really rich, I gotta be absolutely certain I can prove every charge beyond a reasonable doubt. When it's people that don't have means, then it's I'll throw every conceivable charge at you.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Three young women held hostage by Hamas freed today as a ceasefire deal in Israel takes effect. ABC's Tom Sophie Burridge is in Ramallah.
There is a sense of, I think, celebration here in the West Bank because people here living in the West Bank have friends, have family in Gaza, and for the last 15 months, they have not known whether their relatives will survive.
The three women who were freed have arrived at a hospital in Israel after an emotional meeting with family. TikTok has flickered back to life, the China-owned app resuming service in the U.S. today after President-elect Trump vowed to put a federal ban on hold when he takes office. Unclear if he has the authority to do that. Trump today attending a wreath-laying ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery. He'll be spending the night at Blair House before being sworn in tomorrow as the 47th president of the United States. And President Biden is spending his final full day in office in South Carolina. Service is honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. This is ABC News.